Brady and Belichick have been at the forefront of the credit in New England for the last 20 years.
OTB's American Football Show. The Snap on OTB Sports Radio.
Burrow very much thrown in the deep end. He seems to have the correct temperament. I've never been totally won over by his actual talent, to be honest.
Keep updated with American football on OTB. Tune into The Snap every Friday on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
All right, delighted to say we're joined on the line by Andy Friend. Andy, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks a million for taking the time to have a chat to us. I don't know if it's at a, what sort of a time of the season, the very odd season it is for you. Is it a quiet time? Are you in review or what's going on?
No, we're now officially out of the last season, which is a good thing, which means we can look forward rather than staying what was, as you said there before, a pretty tricky season. So after the Munster game, we gave the boys and the staff a week off. We've come back. We've had this week now where we're preparing for our... We've got two A-game fixtures coming up, the first one on the 19th of September and the next one on the 26th of September, which should then launch us into the new season, which we're still waiting to find out exactly how that's going to play out.
Yeah, so it's just a week off. Is that, that's, I mean, I know we've all had an extended period of time that we didn't wish to have off that we have had off, but is that the way it's working?
Well, this week's not. So last week was. We gave the boys last week that week off. So just a down week. I mean, it was really weird. Like, it felt like we had probably 4 months off, but we didn't. You were working the whole time. Players were doing their own, well, our programs and skilled programs, all the rest of it. So we weren't actually in the building, but we were constantly working and keeping busy. So we had that build up into the two Interpro games, the game against Ulster, the game against Munster, just to have a week where we weren't required to be in the office and we could actually get outside of Galway was good. So I think most people took that opportunity and have come back really fresh and ready to go for the new season.
Did you actually get outside of County Galway? I've seen some of your tweets. You were out camping.
Yeah, we didn't get outside of County Galway. No, we love it here, mate. The Connemara is a pretty special spot. So during lockdown, we bought a tent, hoping that when we heard about social distancing, I just said to my wife, we'll go and plonk ourselves on a hill somewhere. But by the time the tent arrived, because we had to get it online, they'd bought in the 2 kilometre ruling. You weren't allowed away from your home more than 2K. So that's why we camped outside for the first little bit. But as the restrictions have eased and we've been able to move around the county, we had a magic 3 days out in Clifton in Clatterduff at the EK campground there. It was just brilliant. So if we get any more weekends, I'll be out that way.
And hopefully plenty more. Now that you've got the tent and it's all set up, I've been through that heartache myself over the last couple of months. It's good to get past it. Can I talk to you just about the end of the season then, Andy? Because it was a mad end in so many ways. Like on the pitch, obviously, results didn't all go your way, particularly with the last game. But off it, obviously, it was a crazy end. Like off it with the Heineken Cup expansion. I wondered what the top lines of the Andy Friend report into that season gone by will be when you're reporting back.
Yeah, I mean, we were, as you know, it was a crazy year. We had that real, we started okay, and then we fell into a bit of a hole in around the Christmas period. We had a lot of injury. We played our Heineken Cup fixtures, and, Toulouse away, we went close, didn't get there. Had the win against Montpellier, had the win against Gloucester at home. And then had another Interpro batch over Christmas time where we actually were well beaten by all three. Well, certainly Leinster and Ulster were well beaten by those teams. But we were climbing. I felt we were climbing out of that hole, and we were really looking forward to the tail end of the season and trying to push for a top three spot. I mean, our goal at the start of the year was to get a home quarter final in the Pro 14, and I honestly felt like we were on track. The week COVID pulled us up. We were about to play the Scarlets. That was a really important game for us. Felt like we were coming into some form there. We'd had a good win against Cardiff a couple of weeks prior to that and the Kings. so we were ready to sort of, you know, have this final hurrah into the season, but it all sort of pulled up. So to then come into the last two games knowing that mathematically we still could win, but we needed everything to go our way. We didn't really talk about that as a group. We just talked about a performance, just given all the work that had happened during the COVID period. Everyone had worked really hard to build their bodies, make themselves better in whatever way it was that they needed to. We just wanted to be able to show that. And I felt like we did that really, really well in that Ulster performance. I was really, really proud of that performance. What we didn't do was then be able to back it up against Munster the following week, which was frustrating. So, there was good and bad. But we can now say that that season's parked. We've managed to get ourselves back into Champions Cup rugby, which is really good. And now we're just waiting to see what this new, the pro rugby season is going to look like and get stuck into that as quickly as we can.
How much was the Ulster performance, Andy, almost a product of everything you've done over the last few years? It felt like such a fluid performance, a really exciting brand of rugby that any neutral, I think, would have been extremely impressed by coming to that game. Like, despite the fact that it's your first game back, it does feel like it was the accumulation of a few years of work.
Yeah, it was. And you know, a few years of work in the last two, but also for everyone else that's gone before my time here, you know, there's been a lot of work going on. And you know, as we all know, the Pat Lamb era produced a win for Connacht Rugby in the Pro 12. There were then 2 years that probably weren't as fluid as it needed to be. But over the last couple of years, we have been trying to make some adjustments to our game style as well as our squad. So what I was really pleased with, in the last two seasons, we've moved on 23 players. That's a lot of players to move on in two seasons. And you know, some of those players left on their own choice. Some of it was our choice. But to bring in the new, you know, 25 new players, which is what we've got, and to see some of those young men, the way they're playing, the way they're pushing the older blokes who've been there before them, and just there's genuine competition in those positions now. And I think that's, you know, knowing that no one's got a position that's safe, as well as all the development that's gone on physically, mentally, with their craft, that produced that performance against Ulster, which is the style of footy we want to be playing. You know, if we can do that week in, week out, we will. So it was exciting to see that.
You mentioned the Munster game, Andy, as well, and wrapping it up. And I'm sure, as a last game of the season, there's so many reasons that you would want, I'm sure, to have played again the following week. And there's been a lot made about the discipline of that game, and I know you've spoken about it yourself. Like, I suppose there's always a rush to make a whole pile of assumptions about our conclusions from the game, given the discipline was so poor. But, like, I mean, overall, I think I've seen Connacht were, like, maybe eighth of the 14 teams in the disciplined league generally. So it's obviously not a massive issue for you, but at the same time, how do you go about addressing that then with the players afterwards? What's the protocol around that? Or like, how do you tackle it front on? Or yeah, how do you address it with the players?
Yeah, we do tackle it front on. I mean, we had it my first year here, the first season. I think the opening game of the season was against Glasgow, 17 penalties against us. The next week we went away to Edinburgh, 18 penalties against us. The following week, Zebre, 16 penalties against us. And we said, fellas, we can't survive. We can't play an opposition and a referee. You can't do it. So we introduced what we called a red penalty board. So if you gave away just a brainless penalty, a dumb penalty, you're offside, for example, your high tackle, something that you can definitely control, we called it a red penalty. And we aimed to have four red penalties max in a game. If you gave away a penalty where there was you can sort of see what you were doing, but you can also see, and this is the way rugby is, you know, that it can be quite ambiguous at times, but you could see what you were trying to do. You could see what the referee was seeing as well. You'd say, okay, well, we'll call that an amber penalty. So we know we're going to get two or three of those in a game, but that's okay. And then a green penalty was, well, I just think the referee's got that one wrong. When we looked at all those penalties, we were up around the 8 or 9 red penalties per game. So we put a real focus on pretty much a name and shame. Let's not do it. Let's not have them. And if you do, you know, you commit the crime, your name's going to come up. You don't want your name on that red penalty board. We went from being the most penalised team in the competition, this is in 2018-19, to the least penalised team in the competition, because we had a focus on that. We went away from that probably the last, well, certainly in the last season. We felt that our discipline had got really good again, hence the reason we're sort of sitting mid-table, albeit those last couple of games weren't so good. So the players have actually come back and said, can we bring back the red penalty board? So, you know, they're owning that. I think it's one of the things we try and do there at Connacht. We have the real conversations. If we're doing something well, we'll talk about it. If we're not doing something well, we'll talk about it. So everyone's very aware of that's an area we need to tighten up, and I know we're going to get better.
Is the red penalty board a physical presence in the Connacht dressing room in and around the Connacht training facility?
It would be what we'd do there with that. We'd put it up every Monday morning.
Right.
So, and it'd be an ongoing tally. The other thing that we've actually been working, I believe, has given us some, or will give us some real advantage too. We've been working with the Irish referees. So we've had George Clancy come in over the last three weeks, do some work with us. We've had, Joy Neville comes in tomorrow. Andy Brace comes in next week. So Dudley Phillips and his referee group have been fantastic for us. And you know, we've got a real appetite to work with the referees. My view is coaches, referees, players, we're all trying to get the right product. And the more we can understand what they're seeing, they can understand what we're seeing and doing, and the players are saying, we'll get the best product for us to play and coach and for spectators to watch. So I think it's really important that those three groups continue to work together.
How do the players respond to a name and shame process?
Yeah, well, they've asked for it back. So I think they want it. I think, you know, they want the pressure on themselves to say, you know, let's not do that. So, I'm pleased that they want it. Some players could run away from that sort of stuff. These blokes tend to want to own it, so it's good.
Yeah, I'm sure, as with any group, there's a few people who are quietly or maybe more meekly putting their hand up for it than others. Did you find, and feel free to name names here, did you find that there were certain parties who were generally top of that board, or was it like an overall cultural thing that you kind of needed to, that there was a spread of it and you needed to tackle it generally?
No, what you found, certainly in the first year, there was a cluster of players, and you know, you're always guaranteed to get one or two. Now, some of it is positional, but there's other ones there. You know, I mean, that's human nature too. If a player's given away three penalties in the last three games, well, they're on the referee's radar. So it's a bit like the bloke that misses the tackle. You miss the first tackle of the season and you play number 10, guess what's happening? You're going to have to tackle a lot because people are going to come down that channel. So the whole thing is don't give a referee a reason to be looking for you. And once we identified that with players and said, well, listen, you're going to have to adjust. It's not for the referee to make the adjustment. We've got to adjust, whether it's the way we maul, whether it's the way we scrummage, whether it's our offside line, whatever it is, tackle a roll away. We have to read the trends that are happening there and make the adjustment. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting nabbed, and I believe we did that. So I'm not afraid that we won't be able to do that again. I know we will be able to do it again, and I think everyone's trying to adapt to the new interpretation of the laws. I had some frustrations coming out of that last game, which I shared. We'll wait and see how things develop over the new season.
You're heading into your third year now, Andy, and I'm sure from a, like, obviously planning point of view, the last 6 months have probably hindered, I'm sure, the general grand plan. But if I could ask it this way, what, like, if you had a magic wand down there now and you could say, listen, the one thing that I need to change, or a couple of things that I need to shift to move the Andy Friend grand plan now onto the next stage with Connacht Rugby, what would those things be?
Well, I think the things that are already in place, you know, it does take time to build, but you know, I think some of the squad composition, we have been adjusting, as I said, 23 players in 2 years, which is significant. I think one of the other big things, you know, for us to get that performance in the European Cup, in the Heineken Cup games, we've never made a quarterfinal knockout stage. We need to do that in order to prove to ourselves that, listen, we are worthy here. You know, we've had good performances, but we need to be able to do good performance into a good performance to get ourselves into a quarter final. So that, for me, would be a massive boost for the province to know that we do belong in that group. And probably the last thing, which is all around the new stadium and our new facilities when they do come, I do think our training facilities linked into the stadium to give our supporters a better place to come and watch rugby, and for us as a group to train you know, the wind and the rain doesn't stop here in Galway. So you need to have an area where you know, you can go indoors and you can still get your work done. So I know that will be, and when it will still happen, it will be a great boost for the province.
It's interesting talking about that, actually, when we talk about infrastructure, because it seems that the project going on in Connacht is a really positive one. At the same time, you can look at new facilities, you can look at infrastructure and say that is the be all and end all. It is what you do with that at the end of the day, if the coaching is right and if the I guess the money being pumped into the right people is there as well.
Yeah, and I don't think the facilities we got are bad. I just think we could make them better, which would assist us in being better. You know, and I think that's important. I know a lot of people, you know, they'll look at our facilities compared to other people's facilities and say, how do you blokes function? Well, don't worry about the facilities. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. And how we do it, I think Connacht have got a brilliant way of finding a way to get a job done, whether that's just the west of Ireland, I don't know, but it's certainly evident in everyone that I see that's either worked here or lives here. They just get a job done. So the rain doesn't necessarily, it doesn't bother me. Otherwise, I wouldn't still be here. The rain, the wind doesn't bother me. But I do know the brand of footy that we want to play, it can hinder that, can definitely hinder that. That's why, you know, we have a lot of success at the sports ground, because people don't like turning up there. It's not what they're used to. We don't have the plush change room facilities. We don't have the, you know, you've got to walk across the dog track to get out to the ground. Now, we don't have the doggy do on the field anymore, which is good. That's been sorted out. But it's different. People don't like it. And you got wind and rain, and you got the Connacht clan sitting there singing the Fields of Athen Rhine, making life difficult for people. So that's what I love about this place. I love the uniqueness of it. So I don't ever want to lose that. But at the same time, I think some of our, I know when we do build a new stadium, the facilities will be better. And it will just add to the way we prepare and therefore what we deliver on the field.
I'm sure you're not spending a huge amount of time, Andy, looking at the other provinces and what they're doing. But at the same time, when you look at Munster bringing in a couple of World Cup winners to strengthen there, you look at the scene, it looks like an endless conveyor belt almost of like an embarrassment of riches at Leinster in so many ways. Ulster bringing in players with like big international experience. There must be quiet moments where you're looking at that and going, I mean, how can we compete with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's situation's different, isn't it? And you can look at that a couple of ways. You can look at it and say, I wish I had that, or you can look at it and say, well, we don't have that, how can we compete? And I think one of the things we do really well at Connacht is we find a way, again, without some of the, you know, without some of the things that other provinces have, we still find a way to compete. We've got to do things differently. You know, we've spent a lot of time during that COVID period on looking at the way we train. So not what we do, but how we do it. And can we make that better? How can we squeeze out every little drop out of the current staff and the playing group that we've got, and how can we be better? So, you know, we've looked at three big pillars there: our craft, our body, and our mind. So we do a lot of work on our craft. We have a great set of coaches who, the way we analyze games, the way we analyze what it is that we're doing within games, the way we put a program together for the players, linked in with the players, I think is the best I've ever worked with. We've then got the body part of that, which is a brilliant medical team, a brilliant athletic performance team, nutritionists that work on the body and work with the players to get the body the best it can be. And we saw some incredible gains during that COVID period. Players that needed to lose weight, they lost good weight. But players players that need to put on weight, they put on really good weight, lean muscle mass. Niall Murray putting on 6-7 kilos of lean muscle mass during the COVID period. Phenomenal, you know, phenomenal gain for that young bloke. But other ones too. Paul Ball put on good size. Connor Fitz put on good size. You know, some really good gains. Bundy Aki came back 7 kilos heavy and looking, you know, just really worked hard on his body. So the body, a lot of work going on there with that. And then the new part of it is the mind. So we've just brought a new bloke in, Jack Birtwistle, to work with the players on maximising your performance on game day. And I don't believe that's been done anywhere else. So we can't do the things that other provinces do, but so we've got to be a little bit smarter, I believe, and we've got to try and work around trying to find an edge that's going to get us an advantage with that. So we spend a lot of time on leadership, on autonomy, on players taking responsibility for their own actions, and now starting to work with a wellbeing piece through Aidan O'Flynn and with Jack Birtwistle and Deirdre Lyons on the mind for the player and making sure that we've got the best product with that. So it is different, but I think that's how we survive it and how I think we can still win. I do believe we can still win. If we can be better at getting those three pillars right, there's no reason why we can't win.
Have you worked with many mind coaches before in terms of getting the mental preparation right for match day? And how is this current relationship working between you and him and the players?
I haven't worked with many before because it actually hasn't been something very prevalent in rugby. It's prevalent in other sports now, but again, it's been probably over the last 4 or 5 years that you've seen more talk of the mental skills. And I think as soon as people think of mental skills, you know, they think of imagery or they think of meditation, that sort of stuff. It's very different to that too. That's quite specialized. You might get into some visualization stuff or some meditation stuff if you choose to. This is more just around what is your emotional state, or really a self-awareness thing. What is your emotional state? When you've played your best game of rugby, how did you feel leading up to that? Do people know? Most people will go, geez, I can't remember. Actually, I sort of remember that. Okay, how did you get yourself to that state? Yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, every weekend we're about to play, but a major part of that is how you feel as you walk in there. Are you calm? Are you clear? Are you confident with what you're doing? Don't know. But if you don't know how to get yourself to there, well, how can you produce that on a game day? So it's a major, major area of the game, which, I've been doing a lot of reading on it and I've got my own thoughts on it, have had for some time, but now to have a bloke like Jack come in and be able to work with the players with this, I think it's going to be really powerful for us. Time will tell, but, he's only new in the door, but I'm trying not to put too much pressure on the bloke, but I just know there's an appetite. And that's probably the other thing, you know, we said to the players, those that want it, it's there for you. And certainly the interest from the players to date has been really, really positive.
When you say you've been doing reading in that area, has the last couple of weeks and months confirmed what you've been reading? Has it totally opened your eyes, or how has it worked?
Yeah, it has. And I reckon, everyone's COVID period's been different. And I think you've got to be careful by saying COVID was a great time. It wasn't a great time for a lot of people. And it still is a very awkward time and a really unpleasant time, because there's been a lot of sadness during this period too. For me personally, though, we couldn't get home to Australia to see our boys and to see my parents and Kerry's parents. And we couldn't control that. What we could control is when we were here, how could we spend our time? So we spent the time, for Kerry and I spent a lot of time together, but for me personally, just really, really going to town with trying to upskill myself as much as I could in a whole range of different areas. And one of those was in the mental skills stuff. Got connected with a guy called Aaron Walsh at the Waikato Chiefs, who shared a lot of good stuff with us. Got on a lot of different Zoom calls with different people. Talking to Dave Hatfield, talking to John Cooner, who's been working with us here too, with Connacht Rugby, and just dial in with different people around leadership, around mental skills, around personal ownership and performance, and use that time really, really, I believe, really, really wisely to try and better myself in that area. So that time definitely gave me time to spend on that area, as well as a few other areas, and I feel much more confident with my belief as to the way forward coming out of that.
So Leinster and the Crusaders weren't the only ones sharing ideas?
Oh no, they're the ones everyone's talking about, them because they're two pretty big teams, aren't they? No, there's a lot of I know our coaching staff, Jimmy Duffy was linked onto a whole heap of different Zoom calls. Pete Wilkins was dialing to all sorts of, wasn't all rugby either, it was some football teams. Our analysts were doing the same. Nigel Carlin was doing that. So, we had a really broad range of people that we were trying to connect with and upskill ourselves with. So, the time was spent really wisely. On top of that, we were dialing back into each other and challenging all the things that we've been doing, which I think has been a real plus too, because, it was a great reset button for us all. You stop and it gave us time to look at what we were doing and could we be better. And how can we be better if we're going to get to where we want to get to, which is winning titles and being in knockout stages of Heineken Cup? How can we get there? It's not just going to happen. So there was a lot of time spent reflecting and trying to challenge ourselves on that.
Yep. All right, Andy. Listen, fascinating stuff as always. Really good to pick through all those various aspects with you over the last little while. Thanks, mate, for taking the time. Good luck for the bizarrely, it feels so weird saying this because the season has just finished, but best of luck with everything for the new season.
Cheers, man. Appreciate that.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.